welcome to Bible Habits. Going forward, we're going to switch things up a little bit and change the show's format. Instead of a daily podcast, we're instead going to have just one episode released every Monday that covers the previous week's readings. We'll be focusing more on themes and big picture ideas while also giving you the chance to send in any questions that you might have. During the week, if there's anything that you want us to take a closer look at, you can send your questions to BibleHabits.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's BibleHabits.podcast@gmail.com. You can also find that email in the episode description. So with that, let's go on to the readings. Acts chapters 1 through 3 have shown us the continuing work of Jesus through his followers, aka the church. Before he ascends into the heavens, he tells them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And this is the pattern that we're going to see moving forward. The word of God isn't going to be the special privilege of Israel. It's going to spread like wildfire among the Gentiles. And we get a preview of this universal scope in chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. We have the scattered Jews from all over the world coming together and hearing about the mighty works of God being told in over a dozen languages. In chapter 8, all these new converts are going to return home, bearing the gospel message. And all of this is happening via the gift of the Holy Spirit. As the disciples are praying together, the Holy Spirit comes with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire appear over their heads. God's presence was once in the tabernacle, then in the temple, but during the exile, God's presence left, and it never came back. The question for the next 400 years was, when will he come back? Well, Acts 2 gives us the answer. Since Jesus has been raised and is sitting at the right hand of God, he's the one who's pouring out this long-awaited Spirit, which now dwells within the followers of Jesus as they continue on his work. So there are two big things that we should notice so far in our reading of Acts. First is that when we read about the disciples going about their business and preaching the gospel, it's really God who's the one directing all of it. The disciples are prompted by Scripture, directed by the Spirit, and continuing the work of Jesus. And we see this in a few different areas. The opening of the book in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, tells us that the gospel of Luke is really only what Jesus began to do and teach. The implication is that he's still active in the lives of disciples as they go about proclaiming his name. It's not just the church that is active in the book of Acts. Jesus himself is as well. Even in the replacement of Judas in chapter 1, they're prompted by Scripture to find a new member of the 12, and to do so, they cast lots, leaving the decision to the Lord. Afterwards, when they receive the Holy Spirit, Peter's quick to tell his audience that Jesus is the one pouring it out. Chapter 3 makes this point even more explicitly. Just as Jesus went about healing people, now Peter is able to make a lame man walk. And as the people are amazed, Peter tells them in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" He goes on to teach them that it's only by the name of Jesus that people are made whole and restored. The lesson for us to take home is that nothing has changed. We still take our marching orders from God, learning from what was written in Scripture, letting God direct us, and being quick to give God the glory when we see people made whole once again. So let's be like the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. Prayer can easily feel like a waste of time to some disciples. Shouldn't we be out there doing something, talking to someone? But prayer is the constant feature of the early church. They are devoted to it, they respond to persecution with it, they use it to find forgiveness and direction from God. If we want to have that same amount of success that we read about in the book of Acts, maybe we ought to spend less time worrying about what we can do and spend more time asking God what we should do. It's his church. Let him lead the way. A second key feature of these chapters that's worth noticing is the fulfillment of Scripture. In chapter 2, Peter points out that everything the crowd is seeing and hearing is a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel had said. In Peter's sermon in chapter 3, he makes references to times of refreshing and restoration, and that all of what they're seeing has been talked about by the prophets already. So if we're good students of the prophets, all of what we're seeing should actually be really familiar and really exciting. The prophets spoke of the exile of God's people like wandering around in a dry desert. But God would eventually send his Spirit to transform that desert into something like the Garden of Eden. In Isaiah 44, verses 3 through 5, we have the effects of the Spirit being compared to like water on dry ground. Just as water causes life to flourish, here is God's Spirit that is going to give new life to his people. And the healing of the lame man is an expression of that. In Ezekiel 36, we have talks about being given a new heart where people are going to be caused to obey God. So everything that Israel had been hoping for while experiencing the long exile begins to unfold in the days of Jesus and now in the book of Acts. Now, the plan is to have a Q&A session starting right about now, but since this is the first week, I don't have any questions. So again, I'm going to encourage you that as you go through your readings this week, send your questions to BibleHabits.podcast@gmail.com. Again, you can look in the episode description and you'll find it there as well. Plenty of you know me personally, so feel free to send it to me any other way as well. Now, looking ahead to this week's reading, Acts 4 through 8, we start to see the response of the Jewish leadership. Persecution begins in chapter 4, and it reaches a high point in chapter 8 as Christians begin to face execution. So some things to look out for. How do Christians respond to persecution, and are we responding the same way? And second, look at how God is able to use the persecution to further his own goals. Just like Judas tried to stand up against Jesus with all the rest of Israel and were defeated, God is still able to defeat our enemies today.